Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, folks, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. I am your host, Ryan Blackburn at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network. It is Weekends with Swipa here. We missed last week. Schedules got mixed up, just very, very busy. But we are excited to be back for you on a day like today as the Denver Nuggets last night played the NBA game of the season, handing the Boston Celtics their first L at home this year. A big, big win for the Nuggets. A big win for the NBA because, like, this was a good one. I'm joined by my guy Swipa. How you doing, my dude?
I'm always living, bro. You know, I enjoy understanding hoops and being right about a lot of different things. And I think it was a good, hard-fought game between two elite teams. And I felt even stronger about my Miami Heat prediction.
It's true.
So great.
It's so true. I'm so ready for that to happen, man. It's going to be so fucking funny.
You were going to be so shocked. Like, how are they able to do this again? Look at the on-court talent. They got nothing to do with nothing.
Jaime Jaquez is going to post up Derek White into oblivion. It's going to be hilarious.
Or Jimmy Butler. Or, and you know, we got to talk about this when we get to the Jamal Murray segment. There was a particular person Jamal Murray was twitch hunting yesterday. It wasn't Drew Holiday, it wasn't Jaylen Brown, and it wasn't Derek White.
Yeah. Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting to see that Denver had the two best players in the game.
And again?
It's not really close.
Last year, too, and people were like, well, that's just a fluke. You know, look at the 82-game sample size. So.
Look at 82 games. Hey, dude, and you got to prove it against the Spurs, man. Like, it's... You just got to hand it to the folks that prove it against the Spurs in October. Like, it's the most important thing I think a player can do. So really, really important. But Denver, I think I titled this a reminder game, and I also titled it a finals preview. I know that you have a different take, obviously, and I know that you have a belief or a non-belief in the Celtics as a whole.
No, it's not. You're an empirical data specialist as well am I.
Yeah.
What does the empirical data tell you down the stretch of games in a playoff setting? We'll talk about that when we get to the game.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. It is good to see. It's been fun to have this sort of back and forth, but I titled this a Jokic Murray reminder game first and foremost. And I think everybody understands why. Everybody understands that, hey, Tuesday rolls around. You play the Philadelphia 76ers. I personally think that Embiid outplayed Jokic and that Maxi outplayed Murray. And both of those stories were part of the reason why Denver lost. And it wasn't this massive outplaying or anything, but it was on the margins, very small margins. And these margins matter when you're playing against really, really good teams.
I'm trying to love how Ryan thinks about basketball, y'all. Yeah, you make 14 jump shots in a regular season game. Yeah, you get outplayed. Good job. You know, great job. But 25 and 20, hitting 11 offensive rebounds, getting to the basket, and then, you know, all that stuff is really replicable. But we're wondering why somebody's not shooting 50% from mid-range, from the nail and into the left wing in the playoff setting, because that's what he does in the regular season. But surely this will be the year where he can shoot above 40% from there. Hopefully, right?
Bro, I agree with you. Like, that shit's drying up in the playoffs. There ain't no way that it is sticking at, like...
Six jumpers in the first quarter, bro. I was like, all right, bro. Like, this
I know. Like, look.
A center. But, Ryan, I'm telling you, Kevin Garnett didn't take that volume. Dirk didn't take that volume. But Dirk maintained it in the playoffs. And that's why you love Dirk. Oh, that's why you had Dirk ahead of somebody in the... your top 20 rankings. Yeah, that's remember. That's exactly right. He could have made his jumpers in the playoffs.
He was pretty good. He was a pretty good jump shooter in the playoffs. So that's pretty important. I don't even know if the general audience knows about that yet. But
they don't.
They don't. No, so we've got a nice reminder game here between Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. They combined for 69 nice points against the Boston Celtics. And like, this was I did a podcast about this yesterday. I previewed this game. The Celtics have the fourth best home defense on cleaning the glass. They have personnel that should match up pretty well with guarding a guy like Jamal Murray. They have personnel that should go into forcing Jokic into mistakes. And like when they send doubles and they've got length and athleticism and smart defense and things like that, they're playing at home where they're undefeated. This was not a circumstance where Denver should have won. Even though they had a couple days off, even though like they're an elite team, the Celtics are by far, like they have the best numbers in the regular season as a team. And it just does not matter when Jokic and Murray turn it up. Like it doesn't matter. Nobody that can stand in front of them is going to survive. Like everybody will perish in the face of the Jokic and Murray duo. And I think that we saw another example of that yesterday.
Look, I think that there's a mysticism. We have this thing in basketball where like raw data or even advanced numbers, you know, people have, they scale up their volume, but this is the thing. This is the same, Ryan Chartburn is better known among
Chartburn, baby.
People have this thing about scaling volume and that like determines your all NBA all-star credibility. Because you scale volume and you do it pretty efficiently. And so that's why Shea averaging 30 on 55, you know, from the field. That's great. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But typically in the playoffs, it regresses. The difference with Jamal is that Jamal's volume and execution and efficiency go up. He's like the opposite of everyone. Because he is scaling to a point where he's just kind of navigating the NBA season. But then once the playoffs start, he is sharper. He's better. And he's more in shape. And then now, like, the cost to opportunity, it's all there. Because there's just not the cost opportunity on a Tuesday versus the Detroit Pistons. Well, at least for some people, for Jamal. But when you get to that opportunity in the playoff, I think for Jamal, man, yesterday was a testament to, I need to scale up my opportunity and my volume because this is the requirement for us to get what done what needs to get done. And the thing that Jamal has against him that apparently nobody else in the league has, that is a number two for a number one, well, it's only because Jokic is on the court that he's that good. They even put the graphic up on ESPN yesterday. Like, he shot 39% when Joker wasn't in the game and 49% when Joker was in the game. I said, how many minutes did they play without each other, number one? Number two, yeah, he's being spaced by Aaron Gordon, Jeff Green, and Bruce Brown in those runs as well. I'm sure that's going to affect his percentages a little bit. Yeah. But on the end of this yesterday, you know what he did? Jrue Holiday, Derek White, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. I've heard nobody is better suited for Jamal Murray than that tandem. So what did he do? He said, cool. Well, I'm going to get you in action because you're terrible at trailing screens. I'm going to navigate this pick and roll and get downhill and dunk on Kristaps Porzingis because you're so worried about KCP. Because now the floor is spaced out. I'm going to get an and one. And then Derek White, turn over the shoulder. Turn over the shoulder. Jason Tatum, he gets him on an island. What does he do? He works him down into the paint. Then he gets Jason Tatum to slow with a slight hesitation, gets to the rim, finish underhand with his left hand.
Or sick finish.
Gets the ball in transition, goes underneath the basket around Jaylen Brown, and goes up for the lay. And then he gets Jason Tatum on him in the fourth quarter, and he hits a turnaround jumper over him. This is the thing about Maul. It's not about you. That's the thing. It's not about the defender. It's about Jamal. If Jamal knows that the best is required, it's over. And that's what happened yesterday.
That's what happens. And it happens over and over and over again. And I don't understand why so many people need this reminder with him.
Did you hear Eddie House at all yesterday?
No.
So Eddie House from the NBC Sports broadcast, he said before the game, apparently said, because it seems like White Kobe, everybody knows who White Kobe is, Bryce Calabrini.
Yeah, of course.
He said that Jamal Murray is a superstar or whatever, and Eddie House was like, no, he ain't no superstar. He doesn't bring it every night. You know, he's a star. I don't think Jamal Murray is a superstar either. You know, I only had like seven, and Lucas just got in. Tatum ain't in there, and Embiid ain't in there for me, because you got to be a proven number one carrier through a championship setting. I don't think there's seven of those guys. And the thing was, bro, is that Eddie House said – that this game is what gave him his respect for Jamal. And then Brian Scalabrine, not the finals, not the Western Conference finals. He said, no. He's like, no, this game, this is the one I was looking at. I'm like, cool. That's crazy. So Jamal averaged 27 points a game, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, 39% from 3, barely missed 40, and shot 93% from the free throw line in the playoffs. And I think for people, Ryan, they're just so hung up on, but he doesn't do it in the regular season. Therefore, how could I have him rank as an all-star guard if De'Aaron Fox has better numbers? If Ja Morant, while he's playing, had better numbers? If Anthony Edwards, Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, they all have better regular season numbers. So, Ryan, how could I put him above those guys? Because they just don't understand. That's just not the way Murray and the Nuggets ask Murray to scale.
They do. And I think if the Nuggets had their way, they would want them to be great all the time. Like to the point where, hey, you can be exactly the same that you are in the regular season, that you are in the playoffs. They would prefer that, of course. Right. Of course, everybody would. Like, you want everybody to be at the highest possible level for the highest length of time possible. The thing is that he's like cousins with Jimmy Butler, basically, right, where Butler continues to bring his best in a playoff environment. He saves it up a little bit, doesn't necessarily go all out in the regular season. He's resting, he's nursing injuries, minor things, just making sure that he's amping up for February, March, April, May. And that's great. That works for Jimmy. And he is probably going to get into the Hall of Fame as a result of that. Like, Jimmy Butler might, and he would deserve it. Murray's not going to make the All-Star game this year. Like, I think that's pretty clear based off of the competition, based off of the numbers, based off of what everybody else is, like, empirical data chart burn, like, is going to bring up here. Like, but he is averaging career highs in a variety of numbers in the regular season. Like, he has brought it more than he ever has before in a regular season context. It's just that everybody's expectations are so high based off of the numbers that are going on around the league right now that people don't care about the playoffs as much.
Right.
They want, what are you doing for me lately? What are you doing for me right now? There are too many guards in the All-Star game conversation right now in the Western Conference. Luka's getting in, Steph's getting in, Shai's getting in, Ant's getting in. Booker's probably getting in, and his numbers are better than Murray's. Fox is getting in. I'm not sure if Fox's numbers are better than Murray's, but I think
isn't he averaging like 30?
You're right, but what Murray does from a playmaking and defensive standpoint, Fox just doesn't do. And that's, to me, I was surprised about that. Now, Fox's numbers have gone down a little bit, and they're also not on a team where, like, I mean, Sabonis is probably going to get, not great. Harden might get in. Kyrie might get in. Ja might get in next year. It's competitive as hell to be in the Western Conference.
If only you could be in the East.
Must be so nice to be a fucking Eastern Conference guard, man. Like, how cool would that be? It would be so nice for all of these guys. And all these guys have migrated from the East to the West. So, like, I understand it. Like, Harden, Kyrie, like, that has made it more difficult.
Right.
But damn if I don't give a flying shit about any of those other guys when the game matters most. I'm going to take the two guys that Denver has. I'm going to take Jokic. I'm going to take Murray. And I do not care about the rest. I don't care about the field. Nobody else should give a damn about the field when it comes to the Denver Nuggets and it comes to their chances to be NBA champions again. Yeah, they've got some weaknesses. Yeah, they've got some issues. There are some things that they can figure out. But damn if I'm going to bet on anybody else other than those two guys, Jokic and Murray, because they bring it when it matters and they care about it most.
You know what's funny? Is I said this on Locked On just like literally 30 minutes ago. Joker had 2 possessions yesterday that showed me, I think that's what people are missing about why the Nuggets are so good in clutch defense. Because even Brian Scalabrine yesterday, you know, he was saying, I don't understand this. The Nuggets are a decent defensive team, but you should be able to get what you want, late game execution and stuff. I said, well, the thing is that they don't have a liability. Now, Jamal is a guard. He's 6'4". So people are saying that, well, you know, you can just put him in the post. I said, yeah. Well, you know who else you put in the post? Ja Morant, Steph, Devin, because they're guards. The thing is, Jamal is big guard, but who else are you going to target? Porter? You're going to put him in the post? You saw KP do that yesterday and didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, I think for the – and you saw KCP in the post yesterday.
Oh, my God. That dude was food. Killing them.
It's right. Awesome.
So, and by the way, like, there was some conversation. Natalie Esquire, who I I adore. She's on the Alley-Oop with me as the Golden State Warriors correspondent. She was talking yesterday about, hey, man, it would be nice if Jalen, like, he could just take down Murray into the post every single time. Jalen was 6 of 19. He was 6 of 19 from the field because it is not actually that efficient to go at Jamal every single time. Like, it's just not. And Denver does a good job of helping the helper. They make sure that everybody's in position. And Murray and Jokic, like, you saw Jokic's defense yesterday. They turn it up. They know when it matters. They care. Like, they will.
And then the numbers bear it out. They scored 39 points in the second half.
39 for one of the best offenses in basketball.
The number one offense in regular season basketball.
Yeah, so, better not be anymore.
But here's the thing is, Jokic, remember, so they, you know, Kristaps hitting these pop shots. So I remember before the game, a lot of people are like, well, how are they going to defend a five out? I think that's a weakness for them. I said, yeah, I think it's for any big that plays drop or hedge. That's just the way it works. Like,
yeah,
so
what any, happened? Any big, like, yeah.
And again, Kristaps made shots. He had 15 points in the first quarter, had six the rest of the game, and he made one more shot and missed the rest of his shots the rest of the game. Here's the other thing, Ron, is that when they put Jokic under Jrue Holiday, just like they do when they put Jokic on Herb Jones or whatever else it might be, or Bando, just to change up your pick and roll variation,
yeah,
they put Tatum in the post next to KCP. So Jokic, when he, again, this is when Jokic is like, he's asked to give an A-level effort. Jokic was stunning.
Hands.
And then they gave the ball to Jrue Holiday, and Jrue tried to take him off the dribble. Ha, body. And didn't let him get past 24 shot second clock violation.
Insane.
But then in the fourth quarter, remember, after Tatum got the ball on the jump ball, which it should have been a free throw for the Nuggets because it was a clear lane violation.
Yeah.
He gets the ball, timeout, they get the ball in, and then Kristaps gets the ball. He tries to get past Joker.
Nothing.
Gets denied. He comes back up. Jrue Holiday gets the ball. Tries to get past Joker. Gets denied. And then Joe Mazzulla calls a timeout, and then you get JT on KCP, and they doesn't even hit the rim. So this is what I mean. The thing about people don't understand about the Nuggets is you're not getting easy looks versus them in the clutch when their dudes are on the court. This isn't Brent Forbes. This isn't Austin Rivers. This isn't Monte Morris. This is a different era. And now Jokic has helped defenders around him. So if you do try to scheme, then he's going to stay with you. And so Jokic had two possessions yesterday that was like, yeah. If he can get any shot he wants, Ryan, he was 12. Let me make sure. What, from two-point range yesterday, Joker was – let me check my stats that I compiled last night. Joker was 12 of 18 from two.
12 of 18, yeah.
Versus – the Boston Celtics defense. Oh, Al Horford, big man stopper in the Eastern Conference, nothing. Kristaps, nothing.
And by the way, like, you're getting fouled on a lot of those misses. He's getting knocked to the floor on a lot of those misses. And he's mad. He's complaining. He's like, how do you not call it? But did he let it control his game? Did he let it control his mind? No, he just, like a playoff game, like a game that matters, he just put his ass back on defense and did everything that he could to get the win. Like, that's just how they work. That's just how this team does it. And it doesn't matter the circumstances. It doesn't matter what's working against them or anything like that. This team grinds you to dust on both ends of the floor. And it's crazy that they've got the competitors, that they've got the athletes, and they've got the minds to be able to do that. And the Celtics, they just couldn't handle it.
Yeah, and again, it's at this point, it's like a talking point. I know a lot of people don't like because their clutch teams have been really good in the regular season so far. And so people are like, well, they've still been really good in the clutch this year. This is just a variation. I'm telling y'all. Okay, I know people don't get this. If you're playing physical basketball for the entire game for 46 minutes and you get in the last 2 minutes versus the Nuggets or versus the Miami Heat.
Good luck.
That's what I mean. Good luck. Yeah. Now the Nuggets know where they can get their shot off. And this is the thing. Joker killing in mid-range yesterday. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't allow that to keep him there. He got to the basket. He got to the rim. And he finished.
He created for others, too.
Jamal Murray was 12 of 14 from two, Ryan.
It's disgusting.
12 of 14 from two. They have all the POA defenders, but the Nuggets – you don't – and I've been trying to tell people this for a long time. You don't beat the Nuggets with defense. You beat them with offense. Because the games they lost in the playoff run last year, Ryan, had a great breakout game from Ant and the Timberwolves. You had a blazing hot Devin Booker and KD for two games. And then you had the Heat shooting 49% from three. 49. And they lost by 3 points. You're not beating them with defense. So just you better make your shots. But the thing is, the Celtics, bro, if you're just going to shoot around the perimeter 44 three-pointers, cool. Go ahead.
All right. And they just – they cooled off. Like, because keeping up with an intense physical game like that, it's really hard to maintain that shooting. It just is.
And remember that five offensive rebound possession they have, and it took all threes every single possession?
Dude, I was so worried for Denver. That was a reprisal of last year where DeAndre Jordan was on the floor possession. That was a sketchy one. But hey, I mean, they got it done, and it's very exciting to be in this position for Denver. How much of this game do you think like is a referendum on the rest of the league for where Denver's at? Like it to me, this feels like a nice little reminder game for the Nuggets that the title still does go through Denver, and you better come up with an answer.
Yeah, I don't think it's a referendum, man. I think people are just – here's the thing. People are have this narrative. Joker is really, really good. He's the best in the world, but he also has the more help than anybody else. Okay, well, Jamal Murray, not an all-star level player, though. But it's not just Jamal. It's Porter, AG. That's what makes it all work. Porter had 13 points yesterday. He played great, by the way. He also played great. AG – I mean, I'm saying second half, especially.
Yeah, he was second great. Half he was better.
Offensive rebound, shooting. In the first quarter, he had 5 points. But they stopped giving him the ball from there. Second half, defense was good. Rebounding was good, all that stuff. But Porter, AG, they scored exactly 15 points between them. Murray, people either, they downplay how good Joker is or they downplay how good Jamal Murray is. Because for them, it's hard. It's harder for them to come to grips with the fact that they just have a culture and they just have a player that is just that much more unsolvable. And again, everybody's pointing to like, well, you know, what about this from Embiid? What about this from SGA and all that? Like, I get it. Regular season is fine, but you're not getting on the court with 15 if people are healthy and you're not figuring that out. Because the Celtics, they tried. They literally tried multiple looks versus Joker. So I don't think it's on the league. I think this is just a testament to the Nuggets just have the best. They understand what it takes more than anybody else.
Certainly do. It's very clear to me. Like this feels like a reprisal of last year in a lot of ways. The only difference is that Denver's not surprising anybody with what they're doing because they've already done it. So now teams are still going to try to load up. They're still going to try to figure it out. They're going to try to throw several bodies at these guys and hope that the other guys don't beat them. But we'll see whether they actually can.
Right.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to chat a couple wrap-up thoughts on this game for the rest of the role players and then talk about the rest of the road trip and just where things currently stand for Denver. But first, everybody, this podcast, as you know, it's brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. You can change the game this year and win some money with Superbook, the most trusted name in sports gambling with a direct line to Vegas. And now you can use that promo code MILEHIGH and you score up to $250 with their first bet bonus. Win or lose, Superbook will match your first bet up to $250 with promo code MILEHIGH. Download the Superbook Sports app, enter that promo code, and you'll get $250 courtesy of Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll be right back on Weekends with Swipa.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we're back. Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. This Weekends with Swipa. We are very excited to be coming to you on this Saturday because this is just one of those moments throughout the regular season that you're going to remember. And not every moment stands out. Not every moment is perfect. Not every moment is one that you're going to think back on as a championship caliber moment. This one was. This one was for me. This one was for the Nuggets. And I think a lot of Nuggets fans needed kind of a refresher after what was a disappointing performance in Philly. But this one, I think, erased all of that. And or maybe not all, but like 99% of it for sure. Let's talk about the role players. Let's talk about Porter, Gordon, KCP first here. You had a combined 20 points from the trio. Not necessarily the most efficient performance. Porter still shot 5 of 9, but only 1 of 4 from three, and actually led the team. Or actually, no. Reggie Jackson led the team in plus minus off the bench. Porter, I was pretty disappointed at times with the way that he approached the first half. I thought that he wasn't ready on some of the catches. I thought like there was a pass that Murray hit under to him where it just kind of went through his hands and then he turned it over and it led to a fast break point the other way. But then Porter sort of changed his mentality and grabbed every offensive rebound that he could in the second half. And that really helped give Denver the margin that they needed.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of this, Ryan, is I think yesterday I said this going into the game, which is why I picked the Celtics, because I just think the Nuggets don't play in Boston.
Yeah.
They don't, they never see them. They have no, they just don't have any familiarity with them. But Ryan, this is what I'm saying. This is, and this is something that people don't realize about Denver. You might get Denver early, but you're not going to get them late. The Nuggets have seen this Boston team with this, the healthy Nuggets, 3 times now.
Yeah.
3. They saw them in November 22. Got dog walked.
Yeah.
Porter had a bad game. Jamal had a bad game. Yes, the only person that showed up was Joker. This is when the Nuggets had like the 29th ranked defense in the NBA. Me and you were looking at each other. They got KCP. They got Bruce Brown. Where's the defense?
Yeah.
They got Christian Brown. Where's the defense? Malone, Ryan Saunders. Why did y'all hire him? Your defensive team sucks. But then January 1st comes. They beat them 123-111. Jokic is 30-12-12 and like a 94% true shooting in that game.
Yeah.
It was Bruce Brown starts because Murray doesn't play. Porter though. Yeah. Like going off at home. Then you get Boston again in Boston. And they see him again in March, I believe. Here's the thing about the Nuggets. If they play you enough, then they get comfortable. You get uncomfortable. They get real comfortable. That's the other thing about Philly. They don't see Philly a lot, and they only see them when they're in Philly. But again, when they start seeing Embiid more all like throughout the season or in the playoff, they start seeing the Celtics more throughout the season over multiple seasons. You have to track the way the Nuggets play you. They used to do this versus the Pelicans. The Pelicans used to get them. Then they started seeing Zion and them and B.I. and them more. So here's what I saw yesterday. I saw the Nuggets in the first half. They were almost like trying to get a grip on what they're doing and how to defend it. And Jokic was the saw. Jokic had that first quarter, 15 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists.
Right.
Murray just hunting in the second quarter. And then you were like, all right, cool. It's a 6-point game at half. And then third quarter comes around. They get back in the game, and then it gets to 12. But eventually, the Nuggets are like, oh, wait, that's what y'all want to do? Y'all just want to, like, hunt the best 3-point opportunity possible? Okay, we'll get there, and we'll close out. We'll bet you that we make more than you down the stretch. Oh, and then what happens? All of a sudden, the Celtics are missing. All of a sudden, the Nuggets are getting real comfortable. Murray's doing whatever he wants. Jokic is taking advantage of everybody. Porter gets the ball on the right wing. Oh, y'all gonna give me a lane run? And one. Done.
Put her right on Porzingis' head. It was awesome. Right. That was great.
And then now Jamal, the non-all-star Jamal Murray, by the way, the non-all-star Jamal Murray.
Not good enough. Yeah,
he's literally snaking their defense in the zone, gets the dunk. You know what they do the next possession? Because Murray had 3 straight court scoring possessions. They start hard trapping him at half court. So people are like, for the non-all-star, they're overplaying their defense, right?
Yeah.
They're doing things they don't do because they can't stop this non-all-star guard. So he gets the ball to AG. What does AG do? AG sees, okay, cut, dive, pass out to KCP. KCP's like, he's shooting like 44% from the right corner this year. Set. Hot mark release. Second. Nuggets up 2. Joe Mazzulla timeout. This is how the Nuggets play. They went on a 7-0 run after that, but then the Nuggets keep doing this. Like, this is the Celtics. The Celtics go, hoof, hoof, hoof. They make these big moves, and then they scale back. The Nuggets are just like this.
Yep.
They play every possession the same. So this is what I mean, man. I think Porter, AG, and yo, Peyton freaking Watson. Let me ask you this, Rod. I personally think that Peyton Watson has passed Christian Brown on this team in terms of how much they trust him, his importance to the team, and his minutes in big games. Would you say that at this point, Peyton just offers them more, more consistently even now? Even you know, Christian's shooting 38% from three, so he's shooting better. But I think Peyton offers them and what this team needs more right now than Christian does, and we're 42 games into the year.
So a couple of different ways I could go with this, and I'm going to choose to go the more positive way, which is talking about Peyton more. Peyton Watson has been sensational this season. Like, this is not something I expected. This is not something anybody could have expected.
Anybody?
Yeah. No. No, this is...
I was very clear, Ryan.
This is a different level. This is something that... I don't think you saw him closing games. I don't think you saw him, like, being a legit seventh man at this stage of his career. That's a good mug. I didn't expect it. Let me just put it right there. I thought he had the talent to do this. There's no question about the talent. That wasn't like the reason why he was drafted was because of the talent. But him being as raw as he was, only playing like 180 minutes last year, there's just a certain amount of time and a certain amount of reps that you have to incur in order to be this level, in order to be ready to play for a championship team. And Peyton Watson's development has rapidly exceeded that. Right. Just so fast. And like there are certain levels to this where first 15 games of the season, he was good, but he was still tentative. He was still trying to figure out what he was doing. Next 10 games, you start to figure it out with the defensive matchups. And that was when he was going on KD, when he was going on Fox, when he was going on all these guys and just shutting a lot of them down. It was really, really impressive. But it's just the ability to put it all together and to put it together in moments that matter and to hit shots in moments that matter. Like, it was really, really impressive. Now, I don't want to overstate this because he was 4 of 11. He was 1 of 6 from 3. He made one important three-pointer. But he also had a couple important cuts and was found by Jokic for dunks because he was in the right spot. He had a couple nice blocks, including a chase down on, I think it was Jaylen Brown. Like, yeah, really,
Peyton Watson three-pointer.
Yeah, really, really. Actually, yeah. Hey, great sequence and a teachable sequence for sure. That, hey, you hustle on both ends and the team will find you. I think that he is going to close some games in the playoffs for the Nuggets, which is insane. That is an insane thing to say. And
not at the four, though.
Probably not at the four. I actually think you're right about this. I was wrong.
Oh, Brian Blackburn admits it. Finally, after years of tedious friendship.
It didn't feel good. I'm trying to, this thing called self-growth and learning and understanding. I think you're right about the way that they're going to have to use him. It feels like he can be a two or a three for them and be that big wing in those circumstances that you need him to be. Now, he can't shoot 1 of 6 from three. He's going to have to shoot better from that in a playoff environment. That's going to have to happen because
I said yesterday that I think, and today, I think this was like the first real grow up game from Peyton because he's never been in this spot before. Do you feel like that's could be what it was yesterday?
Of course. Yeah. No, it's on the road against a team that's undefeated at home. Like, fucking duh. Yeah. This is why I was like, hey, we're going to need to take some time here. But he can work through that. And the Nuggets can work through that. And I think we should probably transition. We do have to talk about Christian. Christian's got to get better. Like, he has to step up. This is one of those environments. Like, he played 5 minutes and was unplayable in the game last night. Like, this should be a matchup where he flourishes, where he's able to switch. Bruce, but it's fine. Well, no, you don't need him to be Bruce. But you need him to be Christian Brown, and you need him to be aggressive, and you need him to be hunting those matchups. But
there's nothing he can go to offensively other than spot up shooting. He doesn't have.
I don't even care about
the offense. This is just his development. I'm not saying like this is an indictment. I just think this is where he is in his development.
I don't care about the offense as much, and I don't think Malone did either. The reason why Christian got benched, he only played 1 minute, exactly one, in the second quarter, was because he was not ready to guard. He was not ready for the game plan. And that is something that we've never been able to say about Christian before, because he has always been ready for the game plan. He's always, like, that's one of his skills, was that he was so ready to step in and fill the job that was needed. Now, I'm a little bit skeptical, and like he's got to work his way back. He's got to prove some things, and I think he's going to have time to do it, but he has not been ready to go defensively, and that's just not acceptable.
Well, I will say, to be fair to Christian, I do think that when you're this young and you're in the second year, slumps don't last like a couple weeks. Like, slumps are mental because you're overthinking. Like, he's overthinking defensively. He got put on the post yesterday, and I'm like, I saw you guard Kevin Durant in the playoffs in the post. I saw you guard Devin Booker in the – come on, bro. Tatum and Brown. There's no way, Christian. It was like an and one, I believe, too, that he gave up as well. It's just like – just Christian. It's like it's moving a little too fast. But the thing is, I'm not worried. We saw him in the NBA Finals do this. He played Jimmy Butler in them. Like, he knows how to do it, and he knows where to go. But I just truly think, man, what Bruce Brown, the thing that people most miss about that, he's seen everything. And because he's seen everything defensively, he just doesn't get rattled. And, like, he's not overplaying. Like, Kristoff yesterday, you know, I saw some people talking in the game yesterday after they were like, you know, I would like to see Kristoff more on Joker on NBA TV. I want to see Kristoff instead of Horford on Joker more, like Sam Mitchell and them. I'm like,
okay.
We saw this in the first quarter. He doesn't have any leverage. Like, Joker multiple times made him tip over because since he's so small, he has to lean his upper body in him to get positioning. And as soon as Joker feels that, oh, spin baseline, you're cooked.
Yeah.
And I think for Bruce is so smart. He never gets out leverage. Christian happened all the time this year. All the time.
Yeah. And like, for whatever reason, I think he's playing with a less physical brand of defense than he did last year. He was getting into guys. He was being physical. He wasn't like Bruce, but he was still a little bit more physical. It feels like he's sagging off on guys a lot. He wasn't stepping up to the task. And like, look, I believe in him getting better. This is not me. This is not a referendum for me saying this can't happen. But what I'm saying is that it's not good enough now. And like, there's a reason why Denver basically went to a 7-man rotation yesterday. And it's because Christian wasn't ready to help. He just wasn't.
Yeah, and I think, if anything, like I said, as somebody who has been right on Peyton Watson since the start, apparently Ryan not one to acknowledge that, but whatever.
I certainly just did.
I think that Peyton, I just don't think he's afraid of anything. Peyton doesn't know what he doesn't know. Yesterday, great opportunity. He's like rushing some three-point shots. He's like collapsing the defense. No, okay, well, there's somebody already there, though, Peyton. Like, you got to be able to understand, like, there's sometimes you just need to shoot. Sometimes you need to go away from the rim because it's just too congested to get in their DHO action, something. But I do think that Peyton is just at this point. That weak side block he had on Jaylen Brown when Jaylen Brown beat Jamal Murray, he hunts. He just has this timing.
Yeah.
Bro, I don't know what was a better block, that or the Aaron Gordon block.
Oh, it was the Aaron Gordon block, by the way. I'm just saying, it was the Aaron Gordon block.
Sitting off the backboard. So this is what I mean. The Nuggets have really physical, big players on the wing. And I do think that Christian Brown will get it again. I think he'll be fine. The intensity will ramp up. The job will simplify in the playoffs. But regular season setting, he's not Bruce. He doesn't have the skill set of Bruce. Everybody misses Bruce. Bruce is right now. It looks like Bruce Brown's going to be a Laker or a Knick. Let's all hope for the Knicks.
Let's hope for the Knicks.
But, you know, I just don't want to see him in purple and gold for many reasons. But I do think, man, that it's just going to take Christian some time to get fully acclimated with the responsibility of what he's being asked to do. Because it's just everything's accelerated. And yesterday was such a great opportunity because you're playing versus the supposed best team in the NBA in the regular season.
Yeah.
and it requires greatness. Peyton was able to get it in spots. Porter, and this is the other thing that really solidified it. Like, Porter was great defensively in the fourth quarter. He was great. So was AG.
Yeah.
Now, they play team-connected defense, but I'm saying, like, Porter's like, cool. AG, cool. Take your step back. That's cool with us. We're in the West. We're used to Braun, Durant, and Ant and them. They're stringing. They're running towards the rim. Like, give me. So if you want to do a step back, side step three, make my job easier. Sheesh. Take a 32% shot. Thank goodness.
I will say, I think that Porter had several moments where he probably needed to contest a little bit better on the perimeter. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh yeah, he was perfectly fine with those open three pointers. Like there's a little bit of a difference, but I do think, look, Denver knows what they know. They know how to win, and winning involves protecting the rim, making shots hard. And if you're going to take a step back, that's fine. Like, I do understand that. So, but I mean, he will turn it up as well. And he's also
Ryan, can we please quell, for the casual people or some of the sports commentators out there, or even Richard Jefferson, who I love, not a casual at all, you know, watching the show, I'm saying this take, like the Nuggets, you just need to attack the rim on them. They're, you know, they have Jokic in the middle, this and that. Do you know the Nuggets have the sixth best rim defense in the league? They're right behind the Minnesota Timberwolves. Like, you're not getting to the rim on the Nuggets and finishing at a high level. That's a myth. Like, I don't know where this is coming from, that, like, you're just getting to the rim. And Joker, also amongst bigs, has one of the best point differentials from when you attack him at the rim of starting level high-volume bigs in the league.
Yeah.
So Joker doesn't do this thing of grabbing a ball and sitting into the ground super well, but that's the point. When you get there, you're going to see hands everywhere. And I think that's a part of why Tatum missed that layup. Remember that one-on-four layup? KCP got hands in. Jokic got hands in.
Rim protection is not just at the top. It's at the bottom too. And like you have great feet, great hands, great understanding of angles. Right. And I think that's very important. Like Denver, as you mentioned, sixth best rim defense on cleaning the glass here. The top five, OKC, Cleveland, Memphis, Boston, Minnesota. So like all your rim protection teams, like all your teams with these elite rim protectors. And then there's Jokic. It's pretty impressive.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you now that the Nuggets are going to be back in the NBA Finals?
I was a 10 in June, a 10 in July, a 10 in August, a 10 in September, and I'm a 10 now. Just if they're healthy, I just believe in their process more than anyone else's. It's period, point blank.
I'm going to go 8.5.
Okay, well, who's
it? Because, like, look, it is more likely that they are than they aren't, in my opinion. I still think that Denver is clearly the favorite in the West because they have these answers for all of these teams. I do think that Minnesota has a great defensive formula against them. It's different than Boston's because they have more length and they have more athleticism. And I do think that's...
Right. Do the Minnesota Timberwolves win more than one game in that series?
Yeah. I think they win at least two.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think so? Okay. We can take that bet.
Yeah. We'll do a steak dinner bet. That sounds pretty good. I don't think
they're not even top three for me, like what the hardest matchups would be for the Knights.
I enjoy ribeye steaks. I just want to put that out there.
Ribeye steaks?
Ribeye.
They'll win more than one game?
Yeah, I think it would be a six game series.
Who do you think pushes the Nuggets second?
At this point it might be the Clippers. Like the Clippers are
at this point, it's going to be the Clippers. Sir, where have you been?
I don't know. Like you need more than just a quarter of the season in order to establish stuff. And like the Clippers have been great over the course of this last quarter.
How Ryan speaks about Kawhi Leonard, it's crazy. But he's telling you the Minnesota offense with just Anthony Edwards and his mid-level pull-up shooting is going to somehow beat the Nuggets in pick and roll and their all this other stuff. But the Clippers, though, with three pull-up shooters and also isolation shooters and also a very connected defense and a top 10 half-court defense, though. Ugh.
Yeah, I just think that Denver's going to have a way easier time breaking down a Clippers defense than they are a Minnesota defense. That's just my belief. And like maybe the offensive gap means that much. Maybe it does. But I also think that Denver would probably not have home court advantage in a Minnesota series than they would against the Clippers.
Do you think the Nuggets care about home court at this point? I mean, to push for it.
I don't think they're gonna go hard for a one seed. I think that they would rather have a top two seed. And they'd rather have
Minnesota gets out of the first round.
Do I think Minnesota gets out of it?
Like, if you had to say who do you think most likely they would see in the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference Finals?
It's probably the Clippers because I think the Clippers match up. Like, so let's just say it's 1-2-3-4 and Denver faces OKC in the second round. I think it's probably the Clippers that they face because I think the Clippers would beat the T-Wolves.
Yeah, I don't even think Minnesota and Denver will see each other, honestly. So I think Minnesota, we've seen them in two, three playoffs.
Yeah.
Just Ant got there. Three. The Memphis one. Two. So Memphis, the Memphis series, and then the Nuggets series.
Yeah.
I think they offer a lot of different things, man. But I told you as soon as the Clippers got hardened, I just think they might be the second best team in the West all the way around.
You might be right. I don't want to sit here and say that like they can't be that, but I do think that Denver, like if it's going to be like, let's say they face Phoenix in the first round, like that's a tough series. I know that Denver will score on them, but Phoenix will score on Denver too. Like they just will. And that's going to be a pretty intense first round series.
Pick and roll. Yusuf Nurkic pick and roll.
And then Denver faces OKC. And that'll be like putting Chet in a body bag for Jokic. Like that's just how that's going to go.
Playoff level Joker in a second.
No, I mean I am firmly in agreement there. But I also do think like their perimeter talent is really, really good. Like Shea and Jalen Williams are just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So like that's gonna be a pretty tough one. But and then if it comes down to the Western Conference Finals, like it's gonna be Clippers or T-Wolves, I would assume. And now obviously these seedings can all change, but like if it's the Clippers or the T-Wolves, I still obviously give Denver the advantage in both of those series. But I can respect the talent and still think that Denver will win.
Yeah, I think the Clippers they have the best chance of pushing them to a 7-game series.
Yeah.
I don't think Minnesota has to pop. I truly don't.
Man, that would be heartbreaking for the Clippers and their fans if they have to run into Denver. So okay, I'm 8.5, you're at a 10. Rest of the road trip, we'll wrap up with this. At Washington, at Indiana, at New York. Now, I forgot about this. Are the Nuggets going to the White House today? Like, is that a thing? Like, are they going
to? It could be, actually. Yeah, that's right. Because today or tomorrow, I guess.
I mean, they face Washington tomorrow. So, yeah. Like, they're probably going today. Or maybe, I guess, on Monday. Yeah, maybe they go on Monday and then they fly to Indiana after that, I guess. But it's interesting to think about that. It's like that. Yeah. Joe Biden's going to have to shake Nikola Jokic's hand and Jamal Murray's hand and give a speech on like how great Jokic is. It's going to be hilarious. So I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. It's just like, that's a surreal thing. Cause like you see it all about like LeBron and Steph and teams like that. And like these super duper megastars that like always win in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then it's just going to be Joker.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how this week goes. The Patriots, man, I really like them with Pascal. Do you think they could make a second round run?
Yeah, no, of course they can. Like, I know it's like they're probably still needing more in general, but they have more to trade. Like, they could trade Mather and they could trade Jairus Walker and go get another impact player if they wanted to. But
and Hield.
Yeah, for sure.
What about for Zach LaVine? How would you feel like Hield, Benny?
Man, I wouldn't want to commit to
would be insane.
I would not want to commit to that contract.
Pascal, Miles Turner, Obi Toppin.
Yeah, I just like they already have enough offense, man. Like they've got the best like perimeter playmaker in the league in Haliburton. Like he creates so many opportunities, and they don't need that. They need more defense. They need teams that can or big wings that can really help them guard, that can help them defend. And I just don't think that Zach is that.
I'm trying to think who else would be worth them grabbing though right now.
If they OG Anunoby.
Who?
OG Anunoby.
Nah, they got Pascal.
They tried to get both of them.
They did?
Yeah. They tried to add both of them in a big deal. It didn't end up working out, but like how funny would that be? That would be that'd be amazing. But
yeah, so Halle, Benny, Pascal, Turner. Is that their core? You think their core four? And then everybody else is kind of movable? Or would you trade Benny?
I mean, I'm calling it a core three. Right now, I still need to see it from Mathurin because like he still has games like he went last. I think he had 0-8 last night and 0 points against Portland. Like, come on, man. Like, you want to step up. You want to be that dude. You got to be better than that. And like, you got to be ready for that. So I think that they are really good.
Bro, you know who I love? He's not a great player by any means, but like a backup center next to Murray. I love Isaiah Jackson. Like, I would love to see him and Jamal next to each other. He is a flyer.
Dude, that dude would soar above the rim.
Right.
And Denver's wanted Jalen Smith for a long time. Like,
No. Way
you don't like him as much?
No, I've never wanted Jalen Smith. Never.
You know Isaiah Jackson is smaller than Jalen Smith?
Yes, but he also a much better player than respect to Jalen, but he's a much better player. I don't want anything to do with
him. Really?
He doesn't do anything. He's just not good to me. He's way too small. See, the thing, Isaiah gives you a vertical spacer that truly works. Like, you can truly utilize that. And he can be a decent switch defender. I'm not saying you want to do it all the time.
Yeah.
I would just much rather have Isaiah Jackson. But I just like the skill set more. Like, Jalen's just – yeah, I'm good on it.
Rob asks Dan Favalli, who – friend of the program for the Alley-Oop.
How much is he making?
Xavier Tillman. He's on a rookie deal. So, like, I think he's in the last year of his rookie contract. So, if Denver traded for him, they could get him as a
– Zeke Nagy, Christian Brown, Vince Williams, Xavier Tillman?
Zeke Nagy, Christian Brown, Vince Williams, Xavier Tillman. They just signed Vince Williams. So, I'm not sure if they're allowed to trade him. But, like, I think the idea of the deal is right, where Denver needs another big. Like they need somebody in the front court, and especially if you and I are now firmly in agreement that Peyton Watson is a two or a three as opposed to a three or a four, then maybe you need somebody else in the front court in the second unit, because they did just play Aaron Gordon literally the entire second half in the game last night, and they probably need somebody that can spare him.
Yeah, I mean, I think Blacko's injury is just really bad. Jeff size. I mean, he's just losing that. It's just really important. I was just clear on this. I don't want the Nuggets pretending. Peyton is too small. Like he's not small. He's just young. Like you don't need him at four. This just feels like, bro, who do we used to put at the four for a while? PJ Dozier.
Love PJ Dozier, man.
I unbelievable when he was at power four. Like, let's stop. Like, let's just stop. I don't want to pretend this with Peyton. Peyton is a two. Or a three, and I think Peyton can be a two. But Peyton is just young. Like, he just needs development. But, bro, think about it. If he does this run, a finals run, he goes into year three. Bro, I would even take that as young at four, just to be a body. Like, just to be a body.
That would be perfectly reasonable, I think. So maybe it happens. Like, that could be a reasonable deal.
Okay, so you can continue to hold on Kendrick Williams all they want just so he can be there, I guess. Just so he can just exist on the roster. He's not even getting real minutes.
Man, you bringing up PJ Dozier reminds me of my favorite, actually least favorite bench lineup of all time that the Nuggets rolled out. Facu Campazzo, Austin Rivers, PJ Dozier, Jeff Green, and Jamichael Green.
that 2021-22 roster was just...
That shit was wild.
And they won 48 games, by the way.
Dude, they won 48 games.
The Lakers won't win 48 games this year with LeBron and AD.
Yeah. That was Jokic's 2006 Kobe moment, by the way.
Like, you think so?
Yeah. Like, him being able to do that with that roster was insane.
Yeah, and people were questioning, like, you know, oh, I couldn't believe the narratives that existed around him. Like, he had the worst – that was the worst roster in the playoffs by, like, a good margin.
Yeah. They traded the third and fourth best players on that roster to go get KCP.
To get KCP, yeah. Exactly. That was insane, bro. Man. The salary dump, right, KCP?
That was a salary dump. Can't
what believe do you think KCP signs for this offseason?
That's a good question.
Who's this facsimile in the league? Because
so like it's not Kevin Herter. He's no. Better than Kevin Herter. I remember the contract that he signed.
What did he sign?
It was like a $15 million a year kind of contract, I think.
What's Bogey make?
ACP should get $18 million a year. That's the number that I put down.
Yeah, I thought about that too. Like 18. You think a 3 year or 4 or 2 year 18?
Let's go 3 years with a player option and give him the credit that he deserves.
Team option probably on the third.
He's gonna want the player option for that number.
Yeah.
But they gotta give it to him. Like
that's a huge trade piece for when Peyton Watson becomes the two that I told you he's gonna be. Can you imagine Peyton Watson being like a legitimate 38-39% 3-point shooter with like ball handling skills?
I can't, honestly. Like that's that would gonna be break insane. My brain. That's gonna
6'5 Murray, 6'8 Peyton, 6'10 Porter, 6'8 AG, and then the 6'11, and then whoever's off the bench by that point. This is 2026. So 2026, 27. So this is ways away, but
man. It's the vision.
Man. I love Peyton, bro. I'm sorry, man. I think Peyton is incredible, bro. I just think
the vision. It's fair. No, I mean, I think he's earning it, man. It's gonna.
Because you didn't do enough of a Jamal Murray run, and people love this segment. There's over 100 people in here, so obviously they love hearing this.
Yeah.
How did you feel? How did you feel? Rob knows ball. Yeah, I've seen it. How did you feel? Jamal Murray being the clear second best player on the court with four All NBA players on it.
You know, it's funny you say that because I have some thoughts about that. Jamal Murray is one of the greatest players in Nuggets franchise history. Maybe the second greatest player. We'll call it third greatest player in Nuggets franchise history behind Nikola Jokic and Alex English. And
David Thompson?
David Thompson was great. David Thompson was spectacular. Wasn't around for long enough. And I think that when it's all, I mean, this love my guy, David Thompson. Met him. He's awesome. He's an amazing dude. I think that Jamal Murray is about as underrated here among the fan base as he's ever been. Because there are so many people that I respect who have gone at Jamal over the course of these last couple weeks for not showing up in January, for not showing up in moments where Denver's been in the midst of this awesome winning streak. Got to have these minor complaints. They didn't get the OKC game. Oh, it's because of Jamal. Oh, they didn't get the Philly game. Oh, it's because of Jamal. Did he play perfect in those games? No, absolutely not. Nobody's asking for that. But you ask me who I want when everything comes down to it, when playoffs are coming down to it, when championships are coming down to it, when Denver is putting themselves on the map for the greatest stretch of time that they've ever had in their franchise's history, you think I want anybody else in Nuggets franchise history other than maybe Alex English, other than Jamal Murray, man? He is reliable. He is relentless. He is the best possible matchup with Jokic. And I'm never, ever going to question who he is as a player. He may not be the perfect regular season player, but when it matters most, who are you going to call? You're going to call Jamal Murray. That's just it. There is nothing else.
Let me ask you this. The playoff setting, how many guards are outright better in your brain than Jamal Murray? Just outright better. Not a question.
Right now, one. And it's Luka Doncic. one. You can give me Steph Curry all you want. You give me Devin Booker all you want. I've seen the numbers. You give me Damian Lillard. You know, that guy who's like struggling to make the All-Star game in the Eastern Conference right now. I am tired of the slander that Murray has to go through for a regular season in January. It is unbelievable, like, what Nuggets fans and Nuggets analysts put in his direction, because he earned you a title. Earned you a title last June. Put up 50-40-90 on 32 points per game in the conference finals and put together a 30-point first half against the LA Lakers in game 3 and sold their souls. You better believe it that he's going to do the exact same thing again when it comes around this year. Rant over.
Yeah, man, I just think Jamal is an enigma. I think people, they just are, they want 82 game sample sizes for awards. And I think at this point, people conceded that Joker just doesn't care enough to go for him. So, you know, he's the best player in the world just because he's like a sleeping giant. But I think the same thing is with Jamal. I think both of them are just of the mindset, like, none of this matters. None of it matters. We're going to play the brand of basketball we know how to play, but everything matters. This doesn't matter, and everything matters once April hits. It's not that they're lollygagging. It's not that they're sleepwalking. But you're not going to get our best every night because it doesn't require it until I get there, until I get to a situation where it's got to get done. It's got to get done. And that's the thing. It got to get done. And I don't think anyone else in the league, respectfully, just has enough to overtake the Nuggets must have. Like, they must. They have a must have to them. We must win this game. We must win this series. And I just think the thing is, Jokic and Murray, bro, like, they're just not fazed by anything. And I think, Ryan, the thing that people maybe sleep on about Murray so much, Murray has gone through everything. Everything. Like, he's literally gone through everything. You know, bad. He went through the, you know, first round versus the San Antonio Spurs in 2019. The team was, like, we're all being down 2-0 to the Spurs, the seventh seed. 21 points in the fourth quarter. Murray goes out, has to play 60-plus minutes or 58 minutes, I think, in a 4-overtime game in the playoffs. The Nuggets lose game 7 in second round because of him.
Because of him. It wasn't good.
19?
He was bad.
He sucked. Like,
yeah.
4-19. Now, he was 21 years old, so, like, that happens.
There's a reason.
Bubble, down 3-1 twice. Has to gun his way back into the series. Gets it done, then loses to the Lakers and still plays well versus the Lakers. Tears his ACL. Loses everything for a year and a half. Comes back that year. Laces him up versus all these Giants. 27-6-5 in his first playoff run coming back from ACL.
The first one.
So, I don't know, man. I just think Murray, it's possible Murray is going to be even better this year. And because now people already had him at, like, Jason Tatum had him at 16. I think I had him at 19 coming into this year.
Yeah.
If Murray does this again and better, like, say he's like a 29-6-5 on like 48-41-94. Jamal Murray a top 12 player in the league?
Jamal Murray,
there's no way anyone could do this next to Joker.
Some of the criticisms are valid. I'm not going to sit here and say that he's perfect. Nobody is. Like, even Joker's not perfect. As much as people want to say that he is, nobody is perfect.
More Jokic slander from Ryan Blackburn.
I know that's going to get aggregated. It is.
Wait, what doesn't Jokic do well, Ryan?
Oh, God. That is going to do it for this episode of Weekends with Swipe. That is going to do it for this episode of Weekends with Swipe. Really, really appreciate everybody stopping by. We are not here to criticize Jokic in any way, shape, or form, especially after this last unbelievable performance. It was like he was incredible. Everybody, thank you so much. We had a really nice audience today. Went over an hour. Was not expecting to go for over an hour. Really, really. Jesus. Yeah, let me just wrong one. Man. And then Cedric follows it up. Crazy, crazy. Everybody hit the like button down below. support the show, support us, support the Alley-Oop, support Swipe a Cam. This is the moment in the regular season where things start to get really real, and we're delivering as great of content as we possibly can. This was a great show, and really, really appreciate everybody for stopping by. Any final thoughts, Cam?
Nah, man. We just, you know, I think the Nuggets got the win they needed to get. And, you know, they're 16-5 in their last 21. So we'll see if they can keep winning.
See if they can do it. Everybody, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button on the way out. Really appreciate all the love and support. We'll be back. I'll be back tomorrow night with a special episode. Thanks, everyone.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.